the hierarchy of the apostolate. Needless to say, from the very beginning of the church's existence, the hierarchy representing the apostles and their successors has always been an essential part of the apostolate. After all, we are Roman Catholics. In today's world, we have a crisis in more than one country. It is all the more important to see how indispensable the role of the hierarchy is in the apostolate of the lay faithful. As we said in our previous conference, however, let's make sure we know the hierarchy not just casually includes, but of its essence is the hierarchy of the Bishop of Rome. We begin then by asking ourselves our normal questions. First question, what is absolutely necessary for a successful lay apostolate? And the answer should be obvious: promoting a spirit of unity. Unity based on fraternal charity is absolutely indispensable, I don't say for originating or continuing, for the very existence of the lay apostolate. And there is one thing which characterizes all the churches, as they call themselves, that have separated from the Holy See. If there is one thing which characterizes them, it is disunity. This, the Council tells us, is especially important for a particular action in the church calls for cooperation of the laity with the clergy and those whom we now call members of a consecrated life. When Christ told us, I pray that they may be one as you are one, you and I, Christ speaking to his heavenly Father. Second question, what is the responsibility of the hierarchy? This, of course, is called an exhortation or a directive for the hierarchy. The hierarchy is to favor the lay apostolate. Secondly, the hierarchy is to furnish the lay apostolate with principles and spiritual assistance, and where necessary, that condition is crucial. Where necessary, direct the exercise of the lay apostolate, above all, to ensure that Catholic doctrine and due order are safeguarded. Though I repeated this 50 times, it would not be 49 times too often. The hierarchy in the Catholic Church begins with and depends on the hierarchy of the Bishop of Rome. All the breaches, all the breaks, all the dissension over almost 2,000 years among Christians has been due to individuals, groups, whole nations not being united with the Bishop of Rome. I said this before, I will repeat and underline it now. And the Second Vatican Council is our source. The authenticity, the legitimate authority of members of the hierarchy in what we call the local churches. Their authority either to teach or to govern depends on their own conformity with and approval by the Bishop of Rome. That and that alone is the Catholic Church. And where we are told by the Council, above all, to ensure that Catholic doctrine is safeguarded. The safeguarding of Catholic doctrine is of the essence of every apostolate, including the lay apostolate. And that is why our last day in the retreat, I not only recommend, I urge you to keep yourself familiar with, knowledgeable about, and put into practice what you know is the teaching of the Bishop of Rome. Never in the history of the Church have the popes spoken more frequently, more extensively, and our present Holy Father more geographically, universally than in our day. And the main reason is to ensure, what the Council tells us, that Catholic doctrine is safeguarded. Next question. How dependent is the lay apostolate on the hierarchy? Depending on how we define the hierarchy, the basic answer is, well, dependent under God. Now the fuller answer reads as follows. There are in the Catholic Church many apostolic enterprises. Some of these owe their origin to the free choice of the laity and are conducted at their own discretion. Let me repeat. There are in the Church, notice, in the Catholic Church, many apostolic enterprises that owe their origin to the free choice of the laity and are conducted at their own discretion. That is one of the most important developments of doctrine in the Catholic Church in our day. However, we continue. No apostolate of the lady which calls itself Catholic may be exercised without the approval of legitimate ecclesiastical authority. I think this answer deserves both more attention and more explicit explanation. The laity, as we know, have been involved in the Church's apostolate, I repeat, from apostolic times. The question, and the only crucial question for our purpose, is how is this lay apostolate to be exercised? Remember, we are Catholics. And the moment we say we are Catholics, that means that we are hierarchical. By Christ's own will, he first chose what we call the 12 apostles. Among them, you don't explain this, you believe it. Among these 12 men was a traitor. And as we also know, the 11 apostles, after Judas' betrayal, then, guided by the Holy Spirit, chose one man to replace Judas. There were once again 12. Ever since, no exceptions, ever since, every single authentically ordained bishop in the Catholic Church traces his episcopal ordination to the Last Supper on Holy Thursday night. And consequently, every priest in the Catholic Church, including this sinner, owes his priestly ordination, priestly powers, to what Christ said, and remember the words. And Christ told the apostles at the Last Supper, having changed bread and wine into his own living flesh and blood, he said, it is no mere additive. Do this in commemoration of me. It is a divine article of the Catholic faith. Those words, do this in commemoration of me, was the institution of the sacrament of holy orders. And consequently, there is no priesthood in the world, no episcopate in the world, except those men whose ordination can be traced back, beyond the 11th, beyond the 7th, beyond the 3rd, beyond the end of the 1st century, to Holy Thursday night, when Christ told the apostles, do this in commemoration of me. When then we ask, how dependent is the lay apostolate on the hierarchy? The answer is, absolutely. Why would we have to immediately add within the hierarchy? There are those who have authority indeed, but whose authority depends on their own obedience to authority, to the authority above them. A bishop has only as much authority to command, direct, teach the faithful as he himself is obedient to the Bishop of Rome, and no more. Of the 21 general councils of the Catholic Church in her 2,000 years of history, the first time a general council has expertly stated what I've just told you. In other words, there is no legitimate ecclesiastical lay apostolate, in other words, ecclesiastical, unless those who exercise that lay apostolate are themselves responsible to, obedient to, and accept, and not just either verbally or mentally, but in practice, the authority of the Vicar of Christ. When you have an American bishop, full length, several page article in a well known, which I'll not identify, Catholic magazine, a weekly magazine, from the first sentence to the last, he is stating, I am the Vicar of Christ. This is what we must be clear about. And that is why never before in my now 48 years in the priesthood have I had to stress, emphasize, pray with the audience I speak to. Know what the Vicar of Christ is teaching, follow his teaching, and then you have the norm by which to recognize not just who you are to obey, but the conditions, the extent of your submission. Next question. How does the hierarchy recognize the lay apostolate? The hierarchy. I have to keep repeating because I know how well I know that in most people's minds, I mean most Catholic people's minds, they simply identify the hierarchy with the episcopate. Fine, but be sure that you know. Now that hierarchy, or is the episcopate all right? Well, the episcopate under. That preposition is crucial. Under the Bishop of Rome. Answer. The hierarchy may pick out some forms of the lay apostolate which it fosters in a particular way. And the Holy See, let me tell you, has over the centuries and is doing so very specially today. Recognizing, encouraging the formation of lay apostolates that are particularly needed in our day. In these cases, where the hierarchy picks, chooses a specific lay apostolate, these apostolates are specially responsible to the hierarchy. In other words, both bishops in their dioceses and the Holy Father in his. You don't just call it the Diocese of Rome, as a bishop of Rome can name, identify, and even declare what kind of lay apostolate is needed. In those cases, obviously, the laity are specially to be responsive to the directives of either the bishop in a diocese or the bishop of Rome. However, again, the hierarchy may choose certain lay apostolates for closer association with its own apostolic functions. This is different. Here, there are established lay apostolates, which the hierarchy, I repeat, either the local bishop or the Holy Father may choose certain apostolates to especially cooperate with the hierarchy in the extension of Christ's kingdom. In every case, however, the laity should have their rightful freedom. How this is needed today. The laity should have their rightful freedom recognized and be allowed to act on their own initiative. This is not the language, I assure you, of the 20 previous general councils of the Catholic Church. In other words, for the first time in considered history, the Catholic Church recognizes, call it the autonomy of lay apostolates in a measure and degree never before known in the Church's ecclesiastical history. But behind this, I assure you, is not a concession to the spontaneous and natural desire for independence that we all have. It is what we call the development of doctrine, where the Church recognizes that the Holy Spirit can and does direct both individuals as persons and individual lay apostolates, respecting the freedom that they have. A freedom always, mind you, enlightened by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit, shall we say, realizing the need for a variety of apostolic work in the church today does not, has, over the centuries it has, limited what we used to call Catholic action to those forms of apostolic work among the laity that were always directly subject to the local hierarchy. In some cases, says the Council, the hierarchy can mandate the lay apostolate by special ecclesiastical documentation. I want to keep repeating, and I may ask you to keep repeating to yourselves, in the months and years to come, the hierarchy is never on Catholic premises, independent of, quite the contrary, always dependent on the hierarchy of the Vicar of Christ. Question: can the hierarchy entrust the laity with certain charges that are closely connected with the pastoral work of the church? The answer is yes. This would include liturgical actions, the teaching of Christian doctrine, and the care of souls. In these cases, the laity are fully subject to the authority of the hierarchy. Let me identify the three forms: liturgical actions, teaching of Christian doctrine, and the care of souls. Over the centuries, these, as we know, have been, and still are, mainly in the hands of bishops and priests, and now deacons. But the laity need to be involved. First of all, those figures for the momentous, nothing like it in the history of the world, growth in world population. And God wants that growth. Anyone, and I have to use these words, anyone who talks about overpopulation is being deceived by the devil. Telling God he does not know what he, the Creator, is doing. Because every human soul must be individually created by him. I know, how sadly well I know, many nations of the world are, what a mild word, underprivileged, underdeveloped, starving, I tell you about my week in Haiti. I could tell you about my month in Calcutta. for my 2 weeks in Paraguay. Or my 3 weeks in Russia. Except for news releases in the press and the media, most Americans have no idea how desperately impoverished and need of the very basics for human survival. Hundreds of millions in our world today are living under. Many consequences. I think I mentioned this to you before, maybe not. While in Paraguay last summer, I was told that most countries in Latin America do not recognize a Catholic marriage as valid in the eyes of the state. Either you are married before a civil official, or you're not married. And the cost, the average cost, is 1 month's wages. And Freemasonry, that came up in one of our questions, controlling one Latin American country after another. The need, the desperate need, therefore, for the lay to become involved even in things liturgical. There are, shall we call them, dioceses in Latin America with one priest to 50,000 professed Catholics. The teaching of Christian doctrine. But it's not just, as I've tried to emphasize for the last 2 days, it is not only because of a massive increase in population, billions in the last 4 decades, billions, what we need as never before in the history of the church is laity. Only God can give you the inspiration. I can just mouth the words. Only God can give you the inspiration to wake up and realize, where do I been? What am I doing? Chicago did not close 62 parishes without a reason. This is one reason. The authentic, unadulterated, unambiguous Catholic faith must be both sustained and developed. And it is the laity, mainly, in terms of sheer numbers and your relationship to the people among whom you live and the people whom you fathers have brought into the world. And the care of souls. Oh, how millions in our own country need spiritual counsel, need direction, need guidance. And this is where, and everything that I'm sharing with you, I show you, one reason I made certain I'd be using the document of the Vatican Council. But it's not just the teaching of the Council. It is the explicit teaching of one modern pope after another. Question. How are religious brothers and sisters to cooperate with the lay apostolate? They, that is, religious brothers and sisters, should hold the lay apostolate in high esteem and gladly help in promoting the apostolate of the laity, always, of course, in accordance with the spirit and rules of their own institute. Over the years in working with religious institutes, I tell them to cooperate with the laity. As I've said so many times, my mother has a tertiary Franciscan. It was St. Francis, among others, who so deeply inspired the laity. Hear it. By the end of the 14th century, statisticians tell us there were over 3 million lay tertiary Franciscans in Europe. And quite frankly, that's what this center is doing in conducting the spiritual exercises. I am sharing with you the spiritual genius of St. Ignatius Loyola, who from the very beginning, that's how the Society of Jesus began. Ignatius began long before he founded the Jesuits, years before. Right after his conversion, at Manresa, spending some 9 months in the cave, praying and mortifying himself, during which time he wrote what we now call the spiritual exercises. As soon as he was converted, and believe me, he needed conversion, took him 3 days to make his general confession. That's quite a sinner. Then he began giving what we now call the spiritual exercises. He, a layman, to other lay people. Every so often, he spent some time in jail. In Spain at that time, this layman, this character, who does he think he is? Going around preaching. He's not even a priest. Well, what did Ignatius do? Get out of jail, go to another town, and continue what he had begun. And after a while, he had enough followers, all laymen, the unabiding idea, maybe, just maybe, you ought to form a religious community. Me, Ignatius said, me a religious and a priest. The Pope said, go ahead. He went ahead. And Ignatius was not even the first priest ordained. I'm saying this for a reason. American seminaries do not lose, as they have lost, 90% of their students in our country without a reason. And one reason is that the families from which vocations both to the priesthood and religious life come, family life in our country, and of course, I know whom I'm speaking with, thank God for your own family life. And some of you, with 10 and more children, viva, hallelujah.